KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly cloudy sky. It's 31 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy today and a high of 48. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. A man and a woman from Lenox were arrested early this morning in Creston on warrants out of Missouri. 29-year-old Kristen Oliphant and 40-year-old Thomas Lee Zelasco II were taken into custody at around 12:27 a.m. at Highway 34 and Patriotic Avenue. Oliphant was wanted for failure to appear on an original felony possession of a controlled substance charge. She was being held in the Adams County Jail while awaiting transfer to the Stone County, Missouri Jail. Zelasco was wanted on a FTA warrant or failure to appear warrant related to the tampering of a motor vehicle. He was being held in the Union County Jail while awaiting transfer to Clay County, Missouri. And 44-year-old Misty Doherty of Lenox was arrested in Creston for driving while barred. She was later released on a $2,000 bond. Authorities in Red Oak say Red Oak Police and Red Oak EMS and Fire took a report Saturday evening of a vehicle versus pedestrian accident in the alleyway at 108 West Elm Street in Red Oak. Upon further investigation, it was discovered 64-year-old Russell Dwayne Tyler of Shenandoah was backing his van when he struck Wanda Olson, pinning her between his van and a van owned by a woman from St. Joseph, Missouri. Olson was transported by EMS to the Montgomery County Hospital for medical evaluation. The accident happened on private property. Red Oak Police said also they were investigating a vehicle hit-and-run property damage accident sometime between 9:30 p.m. and 11:50 p.m. on Friday. Someone sideswiped two legally parked vehicles on Eastern Avenue in Red Oak. Damage to a 2014 Chrysler 200 owned by Ricky Behrens of Red Oak and a 2007 Town & Country van owned by Dale Fish of Red Oak amounted to $5,500 altogether. The incident remains under investigation. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office yesterday said there had been numerous arrests over the past week. To name a few of them, on Sunday morning, 40-year-old Marlon Nelson of Omaha was arrested in Council Bluffs on a nationwide warrant out of Arkansas for being a fugitive from justice on an original parole violation charge. Nelson was taken into custody following a traffic stop. And around 4:38 a.m. Sunday, 51-year-old Gerald Thomas Tapp Jr. of Ouachita, Iowa, was arrested for driving while licensed or suspended while revoked after a deputy on routine patrol saw a truck on the side of the road and conducted a welfare check. Saturday evening, 68-year-old Walter Mumi was arrested for OWI first offense after his vehicle was found in the water at near 145th and Rosewood in Pott County. Mumi was transported to Jenny Edmondson Hospital for treatment before being placed under arrest. Saturday morning, 39-year-old Nicholas Gare of Council Bluffs was arrested in Rural Crescent for burglary in the third degree and theft in the second after he allegedly broke into and burglarized a residence on Badger Avenue. His bond was set at $10,000. And Friday night, 50-year-old Richard Allen Sullivan of Trainer, who was being held in the Pott County Jail, was charged with violation of a no-contact or protective order after allegedly having committed the same offense on multiple different occasions by leaving voicemails. On Thursday morning, 38-year-old Damian Allen Govig was arrested following a traffic stop in Shelby and charged with theft in the second degree, possession of stolen property. Govig was arrested after law enforcement saw a man pushing a motorcycle on the shoulder of Tamarack Road at 400th Street. The cycle had come back as stolen out of Omaha. A traffic stop November 28th in Page County resulted in the arrest of 20-year-old Cody Dale Sleep of Bedford. He was taken into custody for OWI first offense and transported to the Page County Sheriff's Office, where bond was set at $1,000. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, a Sioux City man has pleaded guilty in what authorities have called a human trafficking case in which a teenage Guatemalan girl was raped. The Sioux City Journal says 38-year-old Cristobal Francisco Nicholas pleaded guilty Monday in federal court to a smuggling count and unlawful possession of identification documents. In exchange, a third smuggling count will be dropped. Prosecutors say Francisco Nicholas helped to pay smuggling costs for the girl and her father to get from Guatemala to the U.S.-Mexico border and then travel to Sioux City. Francisco Nicholas's wife, 40-year-old Amy Francisco, pleaded guilty last week to helping her husband in the scheme. The 17-year-old girl was found wandering Sioux City streets on June the 5th and told authorities she'd been repeatedly raped by Francisco Nicholas before she escaped. Well, this is Giving Tuesday, a day where Iowans are encouraged to join people around the world in a generosity movement designed to unleash the power of people and organizations to transform their communities. Neil Bonet, Chief Development Officer for the Iowa Red Cross, says that his agency is dedicated to responding to all sorts of disasters, both big and small.
We respond to 650 home fires this last year in Iowa, along with countless flooding issues. Anything that we're asked to do as the Red Cross, we're going to be there to help.
When needed, the agency sends trained volunteers from Iowa to trouble spots within the state, across the nation, and around the planet, providing things like food, lodging, cleaning supplies, and emotional support.
One thing that, you know, I always tell folks is that just because a disaster didn't make the news doesn't make it any less, devastating for those folks involved.
During 2019, the United States had experienced 10 weather and climate disasters, including extreme flooding, storms, and wildfires that cost more than $1 billion each. Worse, the frequency of major disasters has nearly tripled in the past 5 years. Giving Tuesday isn't just about making donations of cash. As Bonet says, it can also be about giving blood.
We do have Red Cross blood drives all over the state. It's one of those things that, you know, we're always in need of. The gift of blood is so important, and it's really a major part of our life-saving mission at the Red Cross.
Giving Tuesday was created in 2012 as a day that encourages people to do good. Over the past 7 years, it's grown into a global movement that inspires hundreds of millions of people to give, collaborate, and celebrate generosity. Authorities say a man has died in a skid loader accident in the small eastern Iowa city of Wheatland. The Clinton County Sheriff's Office said the accident happened Monday morning at a business where a person was operating a skid loader. Wheatland emergency responders were called to the business and found the boom attached to the skid loader had come down and killed the person, described only as a male. That person's name hasn't been released until relatives can be notified. Police say a man injured in a shooting near the Coe College campus in Cedar Rapids has died from those injuries. Station KCRG says 20-year-old Levi Hunter Allen Holton of Cedar Rapids died Monday from injuries he suffered in the shooting on November 25th. Police say Holton was found in an alley around 5:15 a.m. that day with a gunshot wound to his abdomen. Cedar Rapids police say an autopsy has been scheduled. No arrests in the shooting have been reported. An investigation into the shooting continues. And the state of Iowa has agreed to pay $130,000 in legal bills for two Eastern Iowa anti-abortion rights protesters who successfully challenged a portion of the state's disorderly conduct law. Anthony Miano and Nicholas Rowland, both of Davenport, frequently read aloud about from the Bible and preached on public sidewalks outside of abortion clinics. They sued Iowa Attorney General Tom Miller and Johnson County Attorney Janet Linus last year after Miano was found in violation of a law making it a simple misdemeanor to create loud and raucous noises near residences or public buildings that cause unreasonable distress to occupants. On September 26th, the U.S. District Court Judge Rebecca Goodgame Ebinger found a section of the Iowa Code unconstitutionally vague because it subjects speakers to criminal punishment based on the reactions of third parties. She ordered the state to pay the legal fees for Miano and Rowland. On Monday, the Iowa Appeal Board approved a payment of $127,300 to the Virginia-based American Center for Law and Justice, a Christian-based activist group, and $6,742 to Iowa-based Monroe Law Office. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.